Aung San Suu Kyi is always confident in herself, and she is confident in her cause and confident in the people.
Aung San Suu Kyi's attorney finally talking with his client before a court appearance. This is Tuesday, May 25th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, a new report further questions the origin of COVID-19. A dog smelling dirty socks could help identify those with COVID. And the city that never sleeps is waking up. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Myanmar leader Aung San Suu Kyi Monday voiced defiance as she made her first court appearance since being detained in a coup, vowing her ousted political party would live on. Myanmar has been in uproar since the February 1st military takeover, with near-daily protest and a nationwide civil disobedience movement. More than 800 people have been killed by the military, according to a local monitoring group. The junta has threatened to dissolve Aung San Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy, which swept elections in 2020 over alleged voter fraud. During a 30-minute meeting, her lawyer, Min Min So, told AFP that she sounded healthy and fully confident. Local media reports that fighters opposed to Myanmar's military junta fought with troops in the east of the country Sunday and claimed to have killed more than 13 members of the security forces, captured four, and destroyed a police station. VOA Steve Miller spoke with reporter Cape Diamond in Yangon to get the details and the military junta's reaction.
We're hearing the continuous explosion and, of course, the shootings in different cities and different states in the country. And the last one is the one that in Mopye, which is in southern Shan State, and which is, of course, in between the Shan State and Gaya State. So the local defense force, we call it people defend force. And according to the local media report, 15 members of the troops killed and the four captured alive by the local force. At the same time, you know, not only in that region, but also in the other different area of the country is having the fighting between the People Defend Force and the State Administration Council, the military troops. And they have seized, you know, a bunch of the weapon as well, according to the local report.
Cape, as you mentioned, these are local reports based on information from the People's Defense Forces and other groups. What has the military junta said in response to these latest reports?
Well, so far as we know, that there has been no response, like official report from, like official response from the junta on these specific cases on their state media. You know, they have been spreading the news about the cases that they have been detained, and mostly the ones that, you know, they detained for relating to the explosion cases in the cities like Yangon and Mandalay. So, but in terms of this specific case, we don't really see any response from the junta yet.
Cape, I wanted to switch gears for just a second. Over the weekend, the military junta said that it is considering revoking the registration of the National League for Democracy Party, the party of Aung San Suu Kyi and President Win Myint, because of what the junta alleges is voting fraud during last year's contest. Have they been able to produce proof to support their allegations?
They said, you know, they have found the election fraud, and they have a number of the cases that, you know, being allegedly accused the National League for Democracy is cheating, you know, the election. And they have been, you know, announcing their own results, what they have based on what they have found. But what they have found are not being independently confirmed by the, you know, independent organization or the independent, you know, election observer.
VOA Steve Miller speaking with reporter Cape Diamond in Yangon. VOA Asia continues. Three researchers from China's Wuhan Institute of Virology sought hospital care in November of 2019, months before China disclosed the COVID-19 pandemic, that according to the Wall Street Journal on Sunday, citing a previously undisclosed U.S. intelligence report. Jason Albano reports.
A new report in the Wall Street Journal has added fuel to a theory over where the coronavirus came from. On Sunday, the newspaper cited a previously undisclosed U.S. intelligence report. They say three researchers from China's Wuhan Institute of Virology got sick and sought hospital care in November 2019, months before China disclosed the COVID-19 pandemic. That report goes beyond the State Department fact sheet from January, which said that the symptoms of the researchers were consistent with, quote, both COVID-19 and common seasonal illness. Debate as to the origins of the virus began even before the health crisis became a global one. The Trump White House asserted that it escaped from Wuhan's virus lab. Beijing has consistently denied this. In response to Sunday's article, China's foreign ministry called the news hype from the U.S. and accused it of trying to divert attention. It reiterated that a WHO-led team investigating the pandemic's origins said a lab leak was extremely unlikely after a visit. In March, however, countries including the U.S., Canada, and the U.K. expressed concern about the WHO's investigations. A U.S. National Security Council spokeswoman had no comment on the journal's report, though she said Washington was working with the WHO and other member states to support an expert-driven evaluation of the pandemic's origins, quote, free from interference or politicization.
Jason Albano reporting. Findings in this year's World Health Statistics report suggest the true number of global deaths attributed to COVID-19 is probably 2 to 3 times higher than those officially documented. The report provides the latest data on more than 50 health-related UN Sustainable Development Goals and regional health trends. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
As of December 31st, 2020, 3.4 million COVID-related deaths have been officially reported to the World Health Organization. But based on excess deaths since the pandemic began, WHO officials believe the official figure represents a significant undercount and that the true number is at least 2 to 3 times higher. WHO data analyst William Samburi says the organization is working with other UN agencies to quantify both the direct and indirect impacts of COVID-19.
Direct incorporates the reported COVID deaths, as well as those COVID deaths that were missed because people died without testing. And what I mean by indirect, these are the deaths that can be attributed to the difficult conditions that many people in the world are living under because of the pandemic. These conditions have made patients avoid healthcare, which has increased deaths and other causes.
Samburi says the pandemic has taken a severe socioeconomic toll, resulting in increases in diseases like depression. He says treating COVID emergency patients has taken priority over those suffering from other diseases. The report finds the pandemic has disrupted health services for many life-threatening diseases and poses major threats to health and well-being beyond the dangers of COVID-19 itself. WHO Assistant Director General in the Division of Data and Analytics, Samira Azma, says prior to COVID-19, life expectancy was going up.
We made great strides in global life expectancy, which was increasing with gains in healthy life expectancy as well. Yet the pandemic has had a deleterious impact on these gains, and we are learning from several countries already that life expectancy has declined by 2 to 3 years.
The statistics report says global life expectancy at birth increased from 66.8 years in 2000 to 73.3 years in 2019, with healthy life expectancy up from 58.3 to 63.67 years prior to the pandemic. greatest gains were made in low-income countries. It notes global tobacco use is down by 33% since 2000, but adult obesity is rising, affecting one quarter of populations in wealthy countries. It says non-communicable diseases account for 7 of 10 causes of global deaths. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
We are happy you're with us on VOA Asia. British scientists said Monday that sniffer dogs trained using smelly socks worn by people infected with COVID-19 could soon be used at airports or mass gathering venues to pick up the corona odor of COVID-19 infected people. Working in teams of two, the COVID-trained dogs could screen a line of several hundred people coming off a plane within half an hour, for example, and detect with up to 94.3% sensitivity those infected, according to the scientists. Presenting results of an early-stage study, which involves some 3,500 odor samples donated in the form of unwanted socks or T-shirts worn by members of the public and health workers, the researchers said the dogs were even able to sniff out asymptomatic or mild COVID-19 cases, as well as cases caused by a mutant variant that emerged in the UK late last year. Steve Lindsay is a professor at Durham University's Department of Biosciences who worked on the study.
We were interested in developing a rapid and accurate test for COVID. And our previous work with using dogs showed that we were able to detect people with malaria by their scent. So we thought, well, at the beginning of the pandemic, let's see whether our dogs could detect people with COVID by their smell.
The dogs in the UK study were trained over several weeks by being introduced to 200 odor samples from people who had tested positive for COVID-19, as well as 200 control samples from people who tested negative. Out of 10 people with COVID, the dogs would be able to pick out 9 on average, so that's really quite a high level of precision, said Lindsay. Independent experts cautioned that the findings would need to be replicated in real-world situations. The city that never sleeps is finally staying up after 14 months of being mostly closed for indoor dining due to the coronavirus. No other city in the United States was hit as hard as New York, and the Big Apple's nightlife reopening is a sign of hope for many worldwide. Tina Trent reports.
There was lots to celebrate on a recent Friday night in New York City. For the first weekend since the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic, bars and restaurants opened with no mask restrictions for vaccinated people.
We got hit pretty hard during the pandemic, so it's great to see everyone's out, everyone's friendly, everyone's having fun.
Other milestones? Indoor dining is now allowed at 100% capacity, and the subways have resumed 24-hour service. It was a big difference from a year ago when Christina Albert moved to the city.
It was a ghost town. And to see New York City come back to life, especially Midtown and the Theater District, I am super excited.
Inside this Hell's Kitchen restaurant, Daniel Arcia, a teacher, had some choice words for those who skipped town.
I just want to say that all the people who left New York, suckers, we are back.
More than 3.4 million New Yorkers, about 41%, are fully vaccinated with a coronavirus vaccine.
The beauty of New York is like we're still wearing masks when it's necessary. We are trying to balance, you know, like having fun and taking care of each other.
It's starting to feel a little bit more normal. So we're happy to see that. It's definitely from like lonely to back to, you know, having family in your living room.
For Anton Derrett, chef and owner of Filipino restaurant Tradition, the timing couldn't be better.
We opened up a week before the lockdown in 2020, and we were forced to shut down our doors.
On this night, there was an hour wait for a table.
I got a full table right here. I got a line outside the door, people walking by, you know. The energy of New York is coming back.
Thankful that it's coming back. My bar is thankful it's coming back. My staff is definitely thankful it's coming back.
Jarrett Major, general manager of Bar 9, had improvised with outdoor seating and stages for the live music venue. But on this night, it felt like old times. Over at Cuban restaurant Guantanamera, owner Mario Zarate was also tending to a full house.
I never doubted that New York will come back. New York going to rebound, and it could be better than before.
After more than a year of restrictions, New Yorkers are once again proving they're the city that never sleeps. Tina Trin, VOA News, New York.
Thank you for joining us. Thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, Amy Heibels, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman. Stay safe and enjoy your day ahead.